Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
All very welcome to this Let the Bible Speak broadcast. And before we proceed, we're going to bow in prayer and call upon the Lord for His help and His blessing. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we can come into Thy holy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are glad that Christ Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world and went all the way to Calvary and suffered and bled and died as the substitute for our sin. He took our sins and our sorrows, and He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Gracious Father, we bless Thee that His death at Calvary is the means by which we are saved. He alone can save the sinful soul by the shedding of His blood. I thank Thee that all we have to do is put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. All we have to do is repent of our sin, and we will be saved. So, gracious Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God. It is the Word of God that reveals to us the way of salvation. And as we consider the Word in this broadcast, we pray that Thou will bless it to all of our souls, speak to every single one of us, and may the Word find a resting place in our hearts and lead sinners to Christ, and encourage the saints to go on with God. These things we pray in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Bible reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 14. We're going to commence the reading at verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy and precious word to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Our next hymn is the hymn, "It Was Down at the Feet of Jesus, O the Happy, Happy Day, that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away."
It's good to have you with us for this Let the Bible Speak broadcast, and may God bless his word richly to our hearts. As we turn to Matthew chapter 14, I want us to think about this message of being made perfectly whole in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I draw your attention especially to the end of Matthew chapter 14 and verse 36, where it says that as many as touched, that is, touched Jesus Christ, were made perfectly whole. In what is quite simply an action-packed chapter in this gospel, Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 to 36, right towards the end, may not immediately catch the eye at our first reading. However, they are some of the most gracious and glorious and reassuring words that we can ever set our eyes upon. Now, strictly speaking, they refer to what we might call the healing of the disease, as we can see for ourselves as we turn to these words. Verse 35, for example, makes that very clear. However, in those final words especially, there is for us tremendous application in respect to what we might say is the complete and the whole nature of salvation that there is found in Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, we live in a world, and we all recognize this today, where there is imperfection, where there is sin, where there is not completeness in this sense, where we live in a world where there is an abundance of man-made and very much man-centered messages that attempt to rectify and to solve and to change all of the social dilemmas and problems that we have. It is vital in such a world and an age in which we live that we understand personally and that we experience for ourselves what the gospel is, and therefore to understand what it means to be made whole and to be complete in Christ. And so we turn to verse 36 and we see this for us illustrated so powerfully and so wonderfully. What we see first of all is the fruit of knowing Jesus Christ. Look at verse 34 again with me today. We read these words about when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Now, the plain or the area of land was most likely called Gennesaret because it was named after its neighboring sea or lake. The Sea of Galilee is maybe the more common name, but it's also referred to as Gennesaret as well. Now, the people of this area, they were very different from their neighbors, we might say. The neighboring region of Gadara or the Gergesenes. Well, we know what happened when Jesus Christ was in their territory. There was a rejection of the Savior. They didn't want to know him. And so he was thrust out. He was put out from their coasts and their company. But when we come to this region that we read of in Matthew chapter 14, we find that the reception of the Lord Jesus Christ was very different. And we have to say it's very encouraging to see. There was a welcoming of the Savior. There was a looking for Christ. There was a receiving of Jesus Christ that brought about fruit and brought about a reality about it. For example, we look at verse 35 and it says that when the men of that place had knowledge of him. And that's a key verse. That's a hint and a reminder to us that we've got a difference here within this region compared to neighboring regions, that here were people that came to know the Savior, that came to know who Jesus Christ is. Now, we're not sure as to what this was precisely. Possibly it may be because of his miracles. It may even have been the events upon the sea in recent times, but they knew that he was the Christ. And as a result, there was a work of God. And there was a work of grace in their hearts, and they received him, and they welcomed him. And when we think about what it means to know him, that is to know Christ, and I trust that you do today, that you know him, there has to be evidence, there has to be fruit, there has to be results, we might say. Well, we see these fruits before us. And notice with me that there were unselfish actions. I love how Matthew, in this particular gospel, he points out that when, in verse 35, the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and they brought unto the Savior all that was diseased. Isn't that remarkable? What an encouraging portion of Scripture to read. In other words, here was a great display of love for the welfare of others. And they went around the entire region. This was not something they kept to themselves. This wasn't something which they only benefited from and thought, you know what, we're not going to tell anyone else. No, they went out into their regions. They went out into their districts and they brought to the Saviour all that were sick and all that were diseased. In other words, having personally met with Christ, they understood something, that to know him means that we must share him, that we must make him known to others. And my dear friend, as we listen to this message today, we must ask the question, if we have known him and received him as our Lord and Savior, then it is upon us that we go out with him and we make him known to others. So that the fruit of knowing Christ was simply this, unselfish actions. But also notice that they were necessary actions. Have you seen what they did in verse 35? They brought to the Savior all that were diseased. That was the right, that was the good course of action to take. The fruit of knowing Christ as Lord and Savior will not be that which embraces all and everything that tries to pass for religion and say, well, there are many ways to God. No, there will be this understanding that there is only one way. There is only one Savior, that we must bring men and we must bring women and we must bring young people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of knowing Christ and of being made whole in him will be that which cries out, neither is there salvation in any other. They were bringing the diseased to the great physician, the one that alone could make them whole. And just if we have been saved, we came to Christ. So there must be an understanding that burns within our heart that if we have known him, we too must bring others to him. We also see the faith which trusts the Lord Jesus. Now, we know the diseased were in view here. And we know that when we look at the diseased and whatever that meant in Scripture, that there was an exercising of faith in Christ. Because look at how the Scripture describes this in verse 36. They besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garments. In other words, they knew that there was saving virtue in this one. There was a saving power in Jesus Christ alone. He only had to speak the word. He only had to issue the authority to heal and to restore, and they would be made whole. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine being one of the number? Can you imagine being one of those that would bring a sick and sorrowful individual with this assurance, this understanding? We only have to bring them. We only have to touch him. And we will be made whole. And my friend, this illustrates something so important for us. It illustrates what faith is. It's a very confusing world in which we live. A lot of terms are thrown around. A lot of expressions exist within the Christian church. People speak of faith. They speak of saving faith. They speak of trust. But what do these words mean? What do they mean to you? How do you understand these things? Well, one way of understanding these words is to take note of the illustrations that God gives about these words. And one of the great illustrations to understand what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or to know saving faith in him is right before your very eyes. Here were men and women, and they were saying, if we can just but touch him, if we can just but get to him and know him, we will be whole and we shall be saved. Incidentally, it was in the same country, the woman which battled for 12 years, can you imagine that? That length of time, 12 years of her disease, she exercised the same faith. And that's recorded for us back in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. And what is interesting about that portion is that it gives us a bit more information where that dear soul, that dear woman, she says, if she could only but touch his garment, if I can just but reach out, I will be made whole. And in that particular occasion, in verse 22, Jesus turned and saw her, and he comforted her with those words that were words like no other, thy faith hath made thee whole. What is difficult for many people is understanding what that means. What is it to be made whole through faith? Is faith something of a magical formula we have to discover it? Is it a journey we have to embark upon? Is it something deep within the hearts that we have? Is it something that we would discover for ourselves one day? It's none of these things. It is illustrated right before your very eyes. It is this awareness, just like that poor woman, and just like these individuals in Matthew 14, that we have no hope in ourselves, we have no strength in ourselves, that we must wholly lean and rest on Christ for our salvation. For the woman in Matthew chapter 9, it was simply this, if I but touch him. And for these diseased individuals, as they were brought to Christ, they understood the same thing. If we can just get to him, touch him, and know him, we will be made whole. Think about how this faith was humble. It really was. And we know this because in verse 36, it speaks about touching the hem of his garment. I'm sure this may be known to you already, but in Eastern nations, people showed respect to their princes by kissing their sleeve or even their skirt. And it was a way of showing reverence. It was a demonstration of respect and honor. And that's what we're having here. This is what saving faith is. It's the bowing of the knee. It's the confessing of sin. It's the acknowledgement before God that we have a need of Christ. It is the cry, O Lamb of God, I come. It is also a simple faith. You think of these diseased individuals. They couldn't possibly cure themselves. They were unable to walk, maybe. They were feeble. They were poor. They were needy. And that's a picture of the sinner. Maybe even a picture of you, so stricken because of your sin, so filled of guilt and shame that you realize, I cannot do anything in myself, but if I but look to him and touch him and go to him in that moment, I can be saved. That's the message for you today, my friend. And then as we come to a close and we look at what it means to be made whole in Christ, my dear friend, think about this. There is a fullness. There is a fullness that is found in Jesus Christ alone. Just let those words sink into your hearts. And look at verse 36, and look at the glorious conclusion. They were made perfectly whole. You know, this fullness was required. It was required because in themselves, they knew no fullness. They had no perfection. The salvation that, for example, Paul describes as so great salvation in the book of Hebrews is not something which is covered with flaws and faults and imperfections. It's a perfect salvation, accomplished, established, and procured by a perfect Redeemer. And the one who repents and comes by faith receives the perfection of all that Christ has done. The one who has fulfilled the law of God, the one who has satisfied the law of God, the one who has drank that last dark drop of the wrath of God. You see, God doesn't accept imperfection. He doesn't look acceptably upon sin. There must be a punishment of it. There needs must be a perfect righteousness provided. And my friend, that's the great dilemma in this world. We look at our world and ourselves. There's no fullness in us, but there is a fullness in him. There is a completeness in him. And then this fullness, dear friend, is defined, made perfectly whole. Of all the ways to describe what it means to be at peace with God, you've got that right before your very eyes. These people, that woman back in Matthew chapter 9, and many more besides, whether past, present, or future, have come to the feet of Christ. They have known a happy, happy day, and they've known a fullness in believing on the Son of God. This description we have in Matthew chapter 14, verse 36, in many ways it's a great commentary and a great illustration of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where Paul outlines the doctrine and he says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Paul, that's the doctrine. No condemnation in Christ. Here is the living demonstration. A dear woman in Matthew 9, these people here in Matthew 14, and here were individuals that knew of fullness and what it was to no longer be under condemnation. It's what we call justification, my friend, being made just before the presence of God. It's the great need of standing right before a holy and an infinitely holy God. It's not a reference to moral perfection. It's not a reference to your good works or your best attempts. These things will not avail us anything before God. It is a reference to a legal standing. It is a reminder, dear friend, that there is such a thing to be clothed in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the presence and in the courts of Almighty God, we may be made perfectly whole. We may enter into a standing before God, where there is no longer wrath, there is no longer condemnation, but rather we can say with these poor souls that were brought so lovingly to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, can I know him? Can I touch him by faith? Can I believe on him? Can I receive him for myself? Yes, he can. And in that moment, not after days, not after weeks, not after months, it's not a waiting game, it's not a process. It is the very act of God whereby he pardons, he forgives, he clothes us, and he makes us right in the eyes of God. You know, there was so much in the way of fear and worry and sadness in the scene, the bringing of deceased, needy, poor and needy souls. But they did the right thing, and the right thing was done by these individuals. They said, if we can but touch him, if we can just believe on him. And if you, my friends, say that today, and you say, if I believe on him, the promise of God's word is very simple. You will be made perfectly whole. What a glorious thing to say. I can stand right before a holy and a just God. I trust that God will bless his word to your soul and that you will join with these people and with many saints who have come to Christ and have received a full and a free forgiveness in him alone. Let's bow our hearts in prayer and seek his face together. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful this day that we can think about all that Jesus Christ is to our soul, that there is one that can clothe us and give us a standing before God who is righteous and true. And it is to the whosoever. It is a message that goes far and wide, north and south, east and west. We're so glad as we open up the scriptures that every man and woman can hear it for themselves. As many as touched him, that is, believe on Jesus Christ, shall be made perfectly whole. Do speak to our hearts. Do draw near to every waiting soul. And we shall give thee all the honor and all of the glory. We pray these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.